Well, if you want to, Jared, you can start it.
I can say it.
Okay. All right, let's open the airport committee meeting for Tuesday, September 10th, 2013. And those present, I guess, for the video or audio portion are myself, Jeff Bertolite, Melissa Romans. Thank you, Ralph Busby, and Doug Niebuhr. And then several in the audience. And Ted, thank you. I forget your last name, Ted.
It's Smith. Jones.
Brown.
Jones, yeah. Smith.
Smith, Brown, Jones.
All right. And Bob. See, I've never dealt with them. Everything was here. Bob is our secretary. So, on the first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes for July and August 13th. July 25th and August 13th, 2013. Have you all read? I've read the current minutes. I thought we approved them from last time, but it didn't get through. Mm-hmm.
On the 13th, we approved the July minutes.
No.
Right, so that's what the 13th notes say.
It didn't July show up as being written.
No, that was the 9th minute, yeah. July 9th minute, right. Not the 25th. So Peggy wanted to be sure.
Oh, the 25th minutes were the short
special.
Special.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she wanted to be sure that was.
Maybe have any questions or any issues with minutes as presented? So we have a motion to accept the minutes as presented then? Thomas, you say
yeah,
yes?
Fine. I'm fine.
Okay. And a second.
I'll second.
5 seconds. All right. Minutes are approved. Then we go to the report on airport operations, and Lance is not here, so who is going to take it?
Right. There's no report. I'll get one. Terry, I knew, was going to be gone. I didn't know Lance was going to be gone until yesterday afternoon, and he does not have a report submitted. So,
all right.
So there's no report from Terry nor Lance.
All right. The second item, the fourth item, is...
Excuse me.
Yes.
I have a question. I know what that is. The last time when we sat together, we were discussing about the business at the airport and the development of the business and the personnel development. And I would like to get, if this is possible, there were figures on the table that showed in 2008 we had about, 39,500 gallons of fuel, and then now we have 28 or something like that. I don't have the exact figures now in my head, but the fuel figures go down, the airline's gone, and we wanted to see the personnel development in comparison to this kind of income.
And we're in the process of putting that all together now.
You are? Good. Perfect.
Yes, sir.
Sorry about that.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it will be Melissa. Well, we can talk about it a little bit when we get to the interim airport manager stuff, but we are in the process of doing just what you were talking about, Thomas.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else? Okay. Well, then we have a report of FBO, and Terry's not here either.
Right.
So I think we'll have a chance in old business to discuss some things that maybe we've forgotten, or make sure we'll have it for the next meeting. Sin, the next item five is report on projects, and that's airport runway 16-34 rehabilitation project. Melissa's going to come back.
Yes, the contracts went out. We are waiting for the signed copies and for the bonds. And the agreement for the grant was accepted by council and went back to FAA. So right now, once we get the contract in place, we've asked for a preliminary schedule. And so we'll have a better idea of when they're thinking about starting. So right now, we're still doing paperwork and on hold.
Do you, last time we talked, there was going to be some combining of I guess, budget years. Are you okay with it? The one person that was here from the state was going to see about funding if we needed it to infill. Are we okay with all of the, we got all our ducks in a row for funding?
Ducks in a row for funding is kind of a challenge with the FAA because they put in the final amount for the grant. And then they added $125,000 for a wildlife hazard study that they are now requiring us to do. $125,000 for an AGIS survey, which they are now requiring us to do.
But they've added money to the pot.
No.
No.
And there are a couple of other things that we may now be required to do that was not in it. So I'm not entirely sure, but I have specifically asked questions of Kevin that said, okay, you're asking us to do this and this and this and this. Are we all covered? Okay. And I think we will be. There isn't going to be any float.
Good. What's EAGIS?
AGIS. AGIS. What happened is that, I'm not really sure why it happened, but the FAA made a decision that when they do a major remodel, they have to do an entire GIS survey so they get all of the data. Oh. And AGIS is the system that it all goes into.
Survey.
And so it's a, well, it's not just a real, I mean, it's an intense survey. Mm-hmm. And it's going to cost about $140,000.
More than just new pictures.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So it's what it does is it updates their databases.
Okay. Government money at work. All right.
How much money do you actually have in hand, and how much do you still expect during this physical year to come in?
From the FAA?
Yeah.
We have, it's all been funded this year because that grant was part of this year.
Right.
So we have, I think it came to not quite $9 million. And so it's the city match is what may end up being split over.
Yeah, I understand that, but how much of that $9 million do you have in the bank? Not our bank. I mean our bank, not the FAA's. How much of that have they paid to you?
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. They have paid roughly about $1 million.
Okay.
Yeah. When I get a reimbursement or when I get an invoice, we pay it out. Usually within 2 days, I give it to the FAA and
they reimburse
it back. Now, that becomes problematic towards the end of a project because they like to hold a retainage. And so originally he said, well, you can get reimbursed for up to 80%. But then they said, well, you know, it's kind of this way and it's kind of that one. So for runway 220, I haven't actually requested the major reimbursement for that yet because we're so close to closing it out that, and they don't really tell you how to hold the retainage. I want to make sure that we do the paperwork correctly, so I'm waiting until we have all the numbers in before I really do it. But as far as the runway 1634, we've been reimbursed for everything that we've asked for. That's true of the ODOT grant also.
Okay.
We're current on that.
One question, they're adding some additional requirements. I'm not sure, but I think in the past, sometimes they've allowed for administrative overhead costs, meaning there's no 10%, nothing in there for cities.
None of our matches in kind stuff.
Nothing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, and he specifically said we don't pay for grant administration. They don't pay for me when I'm on the field either, which I thought was kind of tacky. But
yeah.
That's not really grant administration, but they don't.
No, it's in. Yeah, someone's got to look after that.
You think project management.
Project management.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you tried at least. I did ask
the question.
Yeah.
I did, however, even though we don't get reimbursed, like on runway 220, even though we didn't get reimbursed for my time, the fact that I did a great deal of the field work saved us money with the consultants. So in the end, it saved us a little bit of money, and we didn't need as much as the FAA grant.
Well, that's helpful, at least.
So we actually ended with money from runway 220. We didn't spend all the money.
Okay, anything further on that project?
No, but I would like to kind of do a little update since it says report on projects. I am still waiting for the inspector's report on the roofs, on the FBO and the T-hanger. I haven't gotten it yet. Both of them, we have the construction drawings. Both of them were built to a 90-mile-an-hour wind load, which is not sufficient out there, and so they will need to be built from the bottom up, the joists up, to get the wind load increased. Mm-hmm. Now, that the budget for that was in this year's budget, but if we have to replace all the joists and everything, we may need to get the, well, it'll have to be engineered, and we'll need to get a structural engineer. So it, we may have to split it over the next fiscal year, in order, because it's far more expensive to rebuild a roof than to replace the materials that's on there. And it may be that the materials are not equal to the wind load.
This, you've been talking about the hangers and the...
The T-hangers and the FBO.
And the FBO. We had, last year we had 130 miles an hour wind, mm-hmm. right? And they're still standing. So they're not supposed to, right?
They're still standing, but they're leaking.
Yeah, but this is probably not to the wind, it's probably through the rain, right?
Yeah, but
I'm just saying this because
the
I'm
wind
just
blows the rain up That's underneath it. The material. Yeah.
But this is so, not a speed issue. This is an issue of being not sealed properly.
Well, but if it's the wrong material for the location, then yeah. the material needs to change. That's why I need to get the inspector's report back before we talk to the engineers, because he said, you know, I need to check this material. It may not be the right stuff for this roof.
What I was looking at is, all these guys have new roofs now, right?
Mm, okay.
So wouldn't it be sensible to look into that and see how they're doing over the winter with the storms and see if they're all right and if they withstand the wind load? I'm just talking about saving money. I'm just thinking this is my money, right?
Right.
So,
but we're not doing anything until I get the inspection report back. And then once I see what he says, then we'll go from there.
Yeah.
But I'm just letting you know that we have, because Greg Stanton asked me, he said, you know, this has been a problem for a long time and nobody's doing anything about it. I'm just letting you know that we are doing something about it. We are. I just have to wait until the, and then we can decide.
What kind of warranty did that T-hanger come with? Because when we built those, they came with 10-year warranties on them.
The engineer is looking for the warranty. I can't find it at the FBO, but they went through their PAE, Precision Approach, went through their documentation. They didn't have it, but on that particular project, David Evans and Precision Approach worked together, and so they were requesting from David Evans to see if David Evans had a copy of the warranty.
Who built it? What company is it?
Frank Construction actually built it.
That wasn't one of those prefab companies?
No.
Because
the building was prefab.
Building prefab, yeah.
But no, they
Well, aren't. That's what I meant. I mean, we built some, and they erected to Stratospan, and I forget the other one. Makes them, they usually come with 10 years, that's why I was curious.
Yeah, we're looking for the warranty. So, I mean, we're doing all the preliminary stuff to figure out what actually needs to be done. We haven't made any decisions about what to do. But we did find that the original construction documents are for 90 mile an hour winds, which is not sufficient out there. So if the material is for that and the inspection report comes back and says this material can't handle the load, then we will have to re-engineer.
But it could be that you find out that the materials actually used exceed the 90. 90 was just a minimum
right.
target.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, that's
so it might be fine.
Yeah, but we just, until we get the report, I don't really know
right.
where it is. I just know that there are a lot of leaks for whatever reason.
Well, leaks in the T-hangers come from all sides. They come from down and from up, right?
Mm-hmm.
This comes from underneath the door. My hanger, I'm happy, it doesn't come from the top. It comes from underneath. It's because the doors are not sealing properly.
And the foundation wasn't built properly.
Yes. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I have to
trust me.
I trust you.
We're hoping that if there's any money left over at all, Thomas, that we, you know, the area in front of the T-hanger is kind of, it's a bowl, and it all runs the water towards the hangar.
Yeah,
we're hoping we can
to go into the hangar.
We're hoping we can tear that out, and if there's any money left over, and tear that out and repave all that.
Well, the biggest issue in my hangar was the downpipe,
mm-hmm.
and it took quite time to get it fixed. Halfway is decent, it's still not right there. They did some testing and doing it.
You know, you're getting free water. We're charging everybody else 15%.
Because the joint, when the door opens, the joint is just not right, right? And then now they did it with some old inner tube of a car, right? Because this joint was not fixed, the water run down the pipe on the outside.
On the outside, and then
into the hangar. And the hangar at the bottom has a lip, It's about this high, and this lip is came loose in a lot of places. So it goes underneath the lip. So this is my problem. And there's a big leak on that side. But on the roof, I cannot complain. This is pretty good. I was impressed, actually, with the last storms.
Good.
Well, that's some good news, at least.
Yeah, yeah, I'm just giving you best and worst case scenario.
But we know the FBO's got a lot of leaks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, FBO, yeah.
And the pictures, I had him take my camera up, and he took pictures, and
it's crazy.
It's you know, the wrong hardware was used, and there are all kinds of problems. So, I mean, they're kind of two different issues, the FBO and the T-hangers.
Yeah. Okay, any other project business you have? I guess we're in old business, and the status of the proposed interim airport manager position
Is a no-go, at least for the period of time until we get a new city manager, and then I think that can all be discussed again. Part of it is hinged upon the things Thomas was talking about, was the staffing issues out there, whether or not there's already enough people out there, and do we need to add another person out there. So there's a lot being discussed at the city council level, and I think that the feeling is, and Ralph, you can correct me, but I think the feeling is to just put that on hold for right now. We've got other things to do, put a new city manager in place, and we're doing this this study on use of the airport, and not use of the airport, the, comparing the fuel sales, and the we're going back to 2002?
Three.
Doing a study revenue of, and expenses.
Pardon?
Yeah.
Revenue and expenses, and also the number of people that were employed out there. Now, part of that is going to involve the FBO that was under in private hands at that time, so that'll change things a little bit. But yeah, we're hoping to have that done this month. So that's number A. Yes.
Do you want to leave the SWAT for a new business?
No. Go ahead and yeah, let's put that under new business, because we're going to do that later anyway, so.
That's what it's
called. SWAT.
SWAT team? What is
that? SWAT, we want to do a SWAT analysis just to help us with this plan a little bit with the
strength and weaknesses?
Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking SWAT like the police. Okay.
Like a plan.
All right.
Don't be surprised.
Okay, well. The next item is business plan, and that kind of ties into some of what you were talking about just recently about the fuel sales. Why don't we go ahead and, that was a discussion of last month, and let's see what you guys have in mind. Anything that they, who's working on? I mean, we were talking about doing a group project here, getting a few folks and volunteering and working, looking at the current business plan, and then seen if there are some revisions to be made. So we haven't done that yet.
No. It's our task. We didn't do it.
Well, Jeff, was that you? Was that you?
I think it was the four of us.
Well, basically, we all was talking about it and having a session where we sit together and look at this business plan and then decide how we want to modify it.
But not a meeting.
Not a meeting.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll. The first thing we'll do is make sure that we have that Thomas and I, whoever would like to join, other than the committee members, and we'll have an informal meeting and then get back to you here. Just to fill you in, working with the current business plan that we have adopted, it was a plan to develop the airport and bring in new business using former figures for the fuel sales, thinking that at the time, the economy hadn't tanked yet. It started to go down, and then the airline came in and rescued some of our fuel sales. We didn't make much money on the spread there. Currently, we're getting more jet traffic in, and that's where the money is. So the projection is, the business plan, all we could do is project what we felt was the most up-to-date information and going on past history, and then not knowing that much of a crystal ball on the economy, but it outlined, because that's the major source of income, how much is available for the airport budget to have personnel out here. So I guess we'll, sooner or later, the plan is going to be, can we meet a goal of fuel sales, and how do we do it? It's kind of what you have to come up with. And if we find that the fuel sales aren't are going to maintain the level they are now or decrease, then of course you'll have to adjust your personnel and other methods of doing it. Hopefully the business plan would also indicate how to increase fuel sales and get more corporate or government income in from all the jets that might fly by. So that's just some of the items we'll be discussing and bring it back to you. If you guys have any information, let us know.
Basically, when you look at this plan, I guess you have to, first of all, look at the fuel sales mm-hmm. in the past. You have to do a prediction where we go. And it's not that prosperous for what we're looking at, I think, especially looking at the fuel prices and development of the fuel prices. A lot of people in which they have private planes. Yep. They don't just come out to Newport when the fuel price is, and it doesn't matter where they refuel, but it's just a long way out from mm-hmm. Newport. So you will get less visitors, and you probably can recognize it already on the figures that we get together from your investigation.
So we've been getting a little bit of a boost because the Coast Guard's been buying a lot of fuel lately from us.
Oh, good. So this is just because they don't fill up their own stuff.
Yeah, there's
no,
there's been a mess
out
there.
Because their tank has been shut down.
Yeah. Oh,
so, so if we can keep it shut down permanently,
congratulations.
That's strategic.
Well, I mean, that's part of the business plan. I mean, if it can make more sense for the Coast Guard not to have to repair their facility and use ours and pay a little extra money, I'm sure they don't want to deal with all the issues of a fuel farm. I can't imagine. So that's part of maybe the business plan would be to indicate, let's just shoot for more that type of sale. Because the let's face it, general aviation sales, you can get 100 more planes in here, you know, little two places, and you'll never make any money. The idea is still going to be jet fuel.
Do you know what the problem is with the Coast Guard? Is it a big one or a little one?
I do not know the details, and so I can't really speak specifically, but I know it has to do with the EPA.
That's a big
one question for me as an immigrant. What I learned is that homeland security is an issue. They have to be absolutely independent when it comes to fuel and everything. So I don't think that they give up on their fuel tank. That's probably they will not.
Is there any off chance that our tank would get compromised in some way?
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we'll have to check with them and see what their goals are.
But the thing is, I would like to discuss this a little bit. This subject, how do we get business into this airport?
Well, I think you need a business development plan, and that's not what has been done. That's not current right now. So, you know, you could think of how would you bring extra revenue from different sources, because fuel sales isn't going to make any difference.
That's what I think.
And I was thinking it would be interesting if we were talking about an airport manager in the future that, you know, the funding of that position is contingent on them at least bringing as much revenue to cover that position to the airport, you know, and to increase it. So they become the business developer for the airport. They're the promoter, and they're not just sitting there. So that might be one way to, you know, actually have somebody with an incentive to bring business
actually,
to the airport.
Actually, the other people have talked about that also, incentivized salary. Yeah. And I realize under civil service.
I know it's hard in the city government,
but it's probably possible.
Well, in the industry is common procedure.
Right.
Well, it's not totally impossible, actually. You can actually contract it out. The city of Astoria, and then I think and then Wilsonville did that with their aquatic parks or pools, and they hired a firm, and they came in and actually their contract states, you know, you do this and we'll do that. And it worked out, so that they made money. So you'd have to maybe look for other models that may be out there and see if that's available to us.
But what I wanted to go to is the direction of, we are all permanently at the airport, one way or the other, and we should have a glimpse of an idea where we could find money. If we don't find it, and now we get a new one coming in, right, a new airport manager, and we say, well, you do it for us. I mean, he's also not a magician, right? The question is whether
you hire the magician. The question
is, if it's not Harry Potter, what do we do? The fuel prices obviously are not raising. The business is not there because there's no business, right? There's nobody that's repairing or fixing aircrafts, and there's also no flight school.
Well, Thomas, those are some items I think probably we could bounce around. It's kind of good to bring them up now, and we're not going to be able to solve them, but I think you're right. In the past, people have brought up ideas. We do have an ILS system, and they're training people in Corvallis and other places, but somebody suggested doing it, you know, an overseas training thing here, too. But those are just items that maybe we'll come back to the committee with, and it's certainly a dilemma. You're right. I don't think that we expect to hire one person. He's going to solve our problems. It's not going to work. So.
One of the things I might suggest is that when you guys are working on this, or as you work on it, the city council is going to be starting. The actual budget won't get passed until May or maybe June, but we're going to start the process much, much earlier this year. I don't know if that means we're going to have the budget committee together, but if you've got some kind of plan, especially if you're thinking about contracting a department head, I mean, I think what Jeff said, you know, might be a possibility, because, yeah, you can't hire a person for the city and say your salary is dependent upon bringing in this much money, but you certainly could do that in a contract situation. So if that would be something that the airport committee would want to recommend to the city council, that's something that they need to do. And then the city council needs to
business development
okay that, and then they would have to go out and do the bidding process for a company that might want to enter into those kind of things.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe the airport committee people and the people you talk with could find out if maybe there are other locations that are doing it now, mm-hmm. and I don't know. I haven't really checked. Maybe a little Google search.
The question,
you know what one?
Part of the study that we're doing, I sent an email out to the RAP members, and that's the Western Region Airport Property Managers.
Great.
Mm-hmm. And one of the questions I asked was about how they're managing their airports. And I explained what we're doing at our airport, and they have been responding back and forth. So that may be a very good group to answer that question.
Sure, that's their organized group.
The question could also be, how come that an airport like Coos Bay or North Bend mm-hmm. has two FBOs and people are really trying to fight to survive at this airport, and we're not attractive enough to get one FBO?
I don't know, but does the golf course have a lot to do with that?
Yes. The Bend and thing. Mm-hmm. But we also have a golf course.
What's the population of the Coos Bay area?
That's not so much. It's mostly the golf courses bring in 5 to 10 jets at, you know, weekends.
They've had the FBO down there for, they had quite an operation going when I was in college. Mm. And so they had quite a history.
Two?
I don't remember that. I think there may have been at least two.
Yeah, I don't know. Did anybody fly to Goose Bay recently? If you fly in, they almost kill each other to sell you some fuel.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. Sometimes we had that for a while, and it was become a problem for us. But it's also, if you plan ahead, maybe, you know, it'd be nice to have enough business here for even our FBO. So currently, we're still, even during nice weekends, it's not as crowded as in the past history has been. There's probably no ramp space at all.
I'm still running in my brain. I still think about this. I'm thinking still about this business, having a flight school for people, retired people, kind of things. But then this means that we have to attract somebody who would do that, right? And how do we do that? There's also some, and now this is what I, when I was writing back, we have no business, we have no airline. So how can we have minimum standards? I mean, we're pushing mm-hmm. the standards higher. We expect the people that want to run business on at our airport to pay more, and yet we don't find people as it is. So this was the contradictions that I'm seeing.
Mm-hmm. You know? Well, we can, when we get down to that part, I can shed a little bit more new light on that at least. So,
well, I'm going to jump into that then, the discussion of minimum standards. And I'll start off with, I know that original minutes were indications of standards were sent out, and then further follow-up through emails, you suggested that the state's minimum standards were probably a little mm-hmm. better idea to start from, and that's I was thinking minimum standards, and unfortunately I printed off 46 pages of minimum. It was nice because the print's large enough I can read it with my glasses. But I mean, so these, I have these. I don't know if you had a chance to look at those. And I think they're probably more in line with the word minimum standard, but there's still items in there that I think need discussion.
Well,
so we can open that up.
If I can interrupt.
Sure.
First of all, I'm actually surprised that, I mean, I'm beating my head against a brick wall here. I didn't realize that it was going to open up such a can of worms, because to me, minimum standards mean, I have standards at the library that if somebody said, these are the minimum standards, I'm gonna do everything I can to achieve those standards and go way above them. And all I was thinking was that we wanted to have some sort of standard under which we would say, we're not accepting, you know, something like this. However, here's what I want to propose, because I, you know, I did my first set of drafts, or my first draft included everything but the kitchen sink, and I got letters, I got a couple phone calls, I got a couple visits, and again, you know, I'm not going to offer excuses, so to speak, because I've only got one thing that I'm interested in, and what I wanted to do was offer this. I saw a bunch of emails over the weekend that intimated that there's a small group of people at the airport that could be involved in writing these standards, and I could completely pull myself away from that. And if you guys want to write some standards that you think are acceptable and reasonable, and take me out of it completely, the only interest that I have, and when I say I mean the city, as far as I'm concerned, is that we have some way of acknowledging our liability. And that's my only interest. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. Is we just recently had a gentleman that came in who wants to operate a taxi service in this town. And in order to do that, he doesn't just apply for a business license. He applies for a business license. Then he also pays for a taxi permit. Then he has to submit his name to the police department, who do a background search on or check on him. And then he has to present us with a certificate for $1 million worth of liability insurance. And that's what we're doing for a taxi driver. And Thomas, when you were talking about a flight instruction school, I'm just, my issue is, and the city council has the right to overrule me on this completely, but I would at least like to take this to them and have them say, we don't care about liability insurance, or we don't think liability insurance is important, because I'm thinking along the same lines as you. If we have a flight school operating out of our airport, and we have a person running the flight school as the owners of that property, I'm feeling that there has to be some responsibility on our part to make sure that the person running that business has enough insurance to cover his rear end and to keep ours out of the fire.
Which is what's in all of the examples we've seen from the other airports.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a lot of examples that are the opposite.
Right.
And, you know, you're going to kill business by putting a lot of liability insurance requirements, because it's just too expensive.
I understand that, Ralph. But I'd like to have the city council rule on that.
Well, I think the city ought to apply things equally.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're going to take flight instructors as an example and require liability insurance, then you ought to take driving instructors in the city and require liability insurance, which I don't believe you do.
I don't know if we do, but I would guess that their company does.
Well, that's a different issue.
Mm-hmm.
Talk about the city.
Well, except they're not operating off of our property.
Sure they are. They drive on your streets.
Yeah, but they're not based on our property. You know,
that's what I mean.
We can talk about it. I would rather throw it open to the city. What I'd like for you guys to do is write some minimum standards if you want to. If you don't, the only issue, again, that I have, and if it comes to Ralph and Dean, if you guys don't think that that's an issue, you know, that's fine. I do have... I don't know if you guys know or not. Here, I want to pass this stuff around. These are ordinances that we had on file right up until 2006. And in every one of these ordinances, we were asking people who were doing business out at the airport to have $1 million worth of liability insurance. And for some reason in 2006, all that stuff went away. I have no idea at all. But those are basically minimum standards that were adopted in the 90s and ran right up through 2006. For the airport.
Who checks? Do you think that somebody checked on that?
Checked on what?
If people had the liability insurance.
I have no idea, but at least it was an ordinance. So, you know,
Let's just quick talk about this again, because
don't you have $1 million liability insurance?
We had Wally doing maintenance jobs and doing flight insurance.
Mm-hmm.
It's a non-married person living, when you look at his car, living at the minimum standards, right? So now we say to Wally, you have to have liability insurance for him. That's not going to work. I mean, he barely is living.
I understand, I understand
that. First of all, let's don't use names, use examples of a person, and take the names out.
I just want to let you know that the FAA really likes the Salem standards. So if you're going to start and look at these, also get a copy of Salem standards. And because we know, because whatever standards are to come together, FAA has to approve them.
Yeah.
They don't require them, but they have to approve them.
I don't believe that's true.
No, they have to approve them. It is true. I talked to
debate you on that.
Okay,
and it's part of the grant assurances they have.
Yeah, right. So they have
wait
to.
No, not necessarily.
They're inferred required. They're not stated required. They're inferred.
Anyway, you know, because this is such a a hot topic or a hot button, I feel like I enjoy working with y'all, but this is a topic that I think we're going to butt our heads against each other for quite a while on. And what I would rather do is instead of me pushing drafts out to you, I'd rather you guys just, again, like with the business group of a couple people, and if people that aren't even in this room want to be involved in that, in writing some, and if you want to come back and say, we absolutely don't believe we need minimum standards at all, then I'll take that to the city council and say, the airport committee doesn't believe minimum standards are in place, and then I'll just say, this is my only issue, and if the city council says your issue is a non-issue to us, then it's a done deal. I don't really care, but I do read that the assurances are the first thing that got me started on this was the whole idea that people doing business at your airport need to be insured, and we don't have any, to my knowledge. You know, we've been trying to discern what all is in all these standards, but in 2006, up until 2006, we had all that in place, and then when they actually wrote the city code for the first time, all the ordinances that had been in place before that were superseded by the city code, and they just didn't go back and, at least in my opinion, go back and catch things back up.
Well, I'm not sure they didn't so much they didn't catch it back up as that perhaps they looked at the overall city's coverage and liability coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at the time, I could be wrong, but I think that all aspects were up, yes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we have liability issues at all of our parks and recreation, all our fields and roads, and so I think that the blanket policy did need to be specifically.
And the only issue that I have that's different from that, and I think the one Ralph and I differ on, is the fact that we're not doing business. Nobody's doing business at the parks other than the city.
Well, actually, some contract people there were. You had some people doing the dance studios, and they would have people doing their.
Mm-hmm.
There's some contract. You know, people would do. I come in on
one,
teach somebody.
Huh? They're not tenants. That's the
they're not tenants, but I don't think the tenant law requires the it's a comfort level.
The city leases out property too. For example, you got the Pig and Pancake leases City Hall, and they do business in there. And we do put liability restrictions, I think, in that lease, or Abbey Street Pier, or something like that. So there's those kind of things too.
Well, right. If you're talking about standards for leasing actual property, then you probably have.
Well, as you said, on the airport, you got direct use. You know, one of the things you got to consider is somebody doing business in the city's hangar, for example, versus somebody doing business
in yours. Right.
That's a little bit different.
And you know, that's why, because I don't understand any of that, and will not. Those of you that live there and work there and are there often, I think you guys could put together. If you want to, I mean, I don't want to make you write standards. I mean, I can't make you write standards. But what I'm saying is, I think I'd like to see some standards. But and if you guys want to write some, I mean, I don't care if they're one page. Obviously, we don't want a 44-page standard, but something that would pass, I guess, I don't want to say FAA muster because they're not required, but they're highly recommended. I think that's the term they use. They're highly recommended minimum standards. And the other thing is, and again, this is if the city council rules that they don't care that we are that they think we have plenty of liability, I can drop this like a hot rock. But I, you know, I felt that as the even as the interim city manager, that when I saw that the FAA could pull our grant and make us repay grants if we're not meeting those assurances, even though the possibility is probably slim, Ralph, that I didn't want to take the responsibility saying that never happened. And and the same thing with liability. I just don't want to take the responsibility of saying it will never happen, so I'm not going to worry about it. I'd much rather say I worried about it, I brought it to people's attention, and we made this decision or that decision and go from there.
So what's the order of events? Do you want to ask city council whether they want to bother? Do you want to ask us in terms of liability?
I think I hear Ted's from being on the city council before. A lot of times the city council would like to hear from the public and the committees. And
I think they'd like to hear from the
first report. Before they make, otherwise they feel like they'd be overstepping our ability to make them give information.
You've got to put something solid in front of them. I mean, you can't just go to the city council and say, well, you think we should have liability at the airport or not? Yeah. So, well, what do you mean?
Well,
so you've got to show them.
That's why
the point you brought up was with respect to cities' assumed liability or indemnity.
Mm-hmm. And all of that's
maybe what he can do
question
then.
That's actually independent of whether you have standards.
It is. It's absolutely independent of that. So
why don't we give him a little charge to look at, call up our insurance agent of record, and then let us know what they, you know, of course they're always conservative, but they have information that they give you, and maybe
that would learn. Influence what words we might put.
Somebody should get some solid data, and not just. Yeah. Some insurance guy saying, yeah, it's a good idea. Of course they're going to say, yeah, it's a good idea, because that's her job. It's motherhood and apple pie. Keep everybody in bed all day, you know. But if somebody could, you know, actually delineate the third-party liability claims on airports, you know, that are applicable to a situation like ours, that would be good. Because I've heard a lot of words over the years on this. I have never, ever seen that date.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen the insurance guys say, oh, yeah, you got to do it. Lawyers say, you got to do it. Businessmen say, no, we can't do it at all. Well, but I've never seen any.
I know that for my property, though, Ralph, I mean, I have insurance in case somebody trips and falls on my property. Now, we've got that kind of insurance there.
Yeah.
But if I was letting somebody else operate off my property, I think the first thing I'd say to them is, do you have insurance to cover something if you make a mistake?
Are you bonded?
Well, that's a different kind of insurance altogether. When you mistake insurance is different than trip and slip and fall.
Well, but
it's a huge difference. it's being business and no business.
I'm taking up everybody's time, but I just happened to talk to an airport manager back east this last week at a busy general aviation airport, and he says, oh, we don't get into that because it's been a problem. He says, what we do is we just tell people if they want to hire some mechanic or some flight instructor, that's they're taking the liability if the guy has it or not. But he says, we're not going to get in the middle of that. That was his philosophy. That's the way they run their airport.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a pretty big GA airport. But, I mean, so you do whichever way you want. Same as when you hire somebody to work on your house. Somebody comes to put a new roof on your house. You know, if you want to check to see if they're bonded, okay, fine. That's up to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the city's not making them do that. All the city makes them have is a building or a business license.
Permit.
Well, if that's true for roofers, it should be true for flight instructors. You know, saying you got to treat everybody equal.
We have a couple other people in the audience too. You guys are. Do you have any particular items that we want to look at? Or are you just here for hearing what we want to hear?
I want to help. I want to volunteer.
Okay.
My credentials are pretty good. I have a master's degree in management. I'm certified as a professional manager. I taught business research and management at the graduate and undergraduate level for 4 or 5 years for a university and a college. I can offer something like reviewing or discussing. So.
Okay. I think that's nice to hear. I'm sure we can
don't think we can afford
anybody. No, you can afford anybody.
But, no, I don't get $1.25 a year.
Oh, don't get it.
I'd offer a couple things relative to this document. I've reviewed this for the last 7 years.
Which one is that?
The one you
have now. This is your
the old ordinance. Uh-huh.
And I actually went through and attempted to try to meet these requirements mm-hmm. when I was a service provider at the airport. And these pages aren't numbered. But when you get to the specific components of the liability insurance.
Section 8, is that, or 9?
At the top of it, it's the second. It's section 8-14.9.
Mm-hmm.
I priced these products as a service provider at one point. And number 1 and 2, which are premise insurance and hangar keeper insurance, aren't too prohibitive. Number 4, both 4s and 6. It depends on whether you're a single operator or you're an employer.
Mm-hmm.
But number 3 is where the rubber hits the road for providing aviation product liability insurance.
Unaffordable.
Where is it?
There's a 1, 2, 3, 2, 4s, and a 6 on this page. That's what rubber meets the road, the cost of covering that liability and assuring that the city is comfortable with an operator having coverage so it doesn't migrate to their risk.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, it was only offered by 2 underwriters in the United States, and they would not touch a single or 2 operator business in general aviation. They just didn't offer it. The second thing I would offer is at that time, the state of Oregon had a very well-written document that describes how they handle that issue at their owned airports.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk at length about the likelihood of somebody to be able to perform that service and live under the guidelines of even their own requirements for liability coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And they admitted it's not even available to this type of business to procure that product. So I would send you to try to research what the state of Oregon has written on this. Relative to operators on their airports.
Would that be the standards that they use for their
airports? It's actually embedded in a couple of documents. One of them is their lease document, if you're leasing property on their airport. And the other one is if you want to become a commercial operator at their airport.
And see, all those can be, that's all great information that can be put in one document and presented to the city council. If the insurance is out there but totally unapproachable or not even available, single operators,
they won't underwrite you.
I've got a
I can tell you that they shared with me at that time what the cost would be if I met their minimum
mm-hmm.
of volume of business and employees mm-hmm. under me,
right?
And it was about $15,000 a year for number 3. So if you take that across,
you have to sell a lot
the
of
number of airplanes on an airport.
But for Doug, that's pocket change. So
the rocket science proved that you would no longer be in business, or you couldn't pass those costs along mm-hmm. to your customer base. There's just no way it would be affordable.
You know, I've run into this before myself, and when you put out those draft standards, I actually called my insurance broker, who does commercial
uh-huh.
insurance as well, and went down a list of some of those things and got the same. I can go into detail, but basically what Doug's saying. And you take somebody like Jeff, I don't know that you could get liability for
what
you do.
It's not possible.
I tell you, do
experimental aircraft or something. So, but I'm looking at the current ones for Oregon in the category 5 airports, and they don't list any insurance requirements for their services here. They just kind of say, you're going to have if you have your flying service, you have to have an airplane available, and you have to. Keep it airworthy and follow FAA mm-hmm. rules, but they don't cover all the liability in those. That's covered under the lease, probably, but as far as there's slip and fall, it's probably covered under the lease agreements, but as far as operating the business, I don't think they have that. They don't have it here.
Mm-hmm.
I think you brought up a good point, is that a lot of these things are covered elsewhere. We don't need to rewrite the law
understand.
And put it out there. I think we need to cover what's appropriate for our airport and not the painting standards for painting airplanes or...
Right, those are those smaller items, you know.
And those are things I knew would just get checked out right away. It's one of, in the draft, it was kind of like put everything, like I said, put everything in and throw out the, everything that, that doesn't right. work. But I think a better way of doing it is if you guys want to put together, since, again, you know things that I don't know, and I'm copying off of templates that are from this airport or that airport. And if the honest truth is that as an airport committee, you can get up in front of the city council and say, there's no insurance in the world that's out there that's available or that's available and affordable. I'm good with that.
Yeah, and then they're still actually doing business in the United States, so I'm guessing that it's, you know, people worry about, it's always a good worry because you can get sued no matter what. Doesn't mean they're going to win. City, there's our current state laws and limit liability anyhow. Uh-huh. So sometimes you've got $1 million coverage, but city can only be sued for $250,000. So there's issues like that to come up.
Yep.
But, well, I get where, you know, I think the just what I'm hearing is consensus. We've got some volunteers, and sounds like you would like us to at least bring back something that is acceptable in some manner to
and it
talk about.
To be, it doesn't have to be in the next meeting. You're already working on a business plan and this, but I just wanted to give you guys the opportunity to, you know, since you know more about the role of the airport and the role of this specific airport, say, if you want to have some standards, I think some standards would be worthwhile simply because rather than say we do anything or take anything, I mean, don't we want to have instead of having a ceiling, have some place under which we won't go? I don't know what that is.
Well, I found quite a few, and I don't like standards, but in here that I could agree with. So I mean, there's a basis which you can operate from. Okay. I think so. That,
yep. And it may be as simple as having a statement in there to assume that businesses are self-insured and that the city's liability is restricted to X, and that we need some feedback from the city as to what.
Well, or something in the standards that could say that, you know.
You'll have notification to your clientele posted on the wall. You know, things that you could have. Mm-hmm. So fair warnings standard maybe up there that you don't feel as if you're renting an aircraft, it's going to be covered by somebody's insurance and certainly not the city. So
yeah.
Those are
very few FBOs who rent aircraft insure the pilots that rent.
That's right, and they really tell you
they insure the aircraft, though. I would imagine.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But then they sue you when you wreck their aircraft.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
There's a lot of money for lawyers.
Well, anything more on the minimum standard?
Yeah. Just a question again. We were just so quick talking, saying that we work on the business plan. Who's the one inviting? Should I invite?
Well, I think that if...
Who's organizing the meeting? That's a question for the business plan.
Oh. Non-meeting.
What?
Non-meeting.
The non-meeting, yes.
Do you guys have it in a file? I mean, I can send you the business plan as it exists.
You can download it from the city page.
Is it writable PDF? Can you, or is it just a...
Oh, I doubt it.
It doesn't matter. You know, this is the second stage. Let's just first revise it, and then we can still, the way we how we put it in, is
okay.
Still it was down the city of Newport.
Before you go too far, Ted, I'd like to thank you for approaching it in this manner.
Yes.
Because I do know under some of the last members of the administration, you know, it was, this is what we're going to do, and you're stuck with it. And you're asking for people's input and, you know, giving them the opportunity to develop.
I just don't want to get any more letters. No, I'm just kidding. It's the whole thing was we were going to try to work together. So, and I'm thinking, you know, let's come from where the knowledge base is up instead of me trying to shove stuff down, you know, the throats of a knowledge base that I don't have any, you know, real knowledge of. Like I said, my only real concern was whether or not we've got any reliability issues out there, and I appreciate, you know, hearing from you that there, and there may not be for an airport our smaller, may not be. I don't know.
Well, there's always some.
It's, some is manageable, some, you know, and again, but you're not going to...
What you said, Jeff, anybody, maybe, you know, what you said makes a lot of sense, too. I've completely forgotten that there are ceilings on how much people can sue the city for.
Yeah.
And the city might well be willing to just say, the most they can get out of us is X. And, you know, so...
That may be helpful.
It's a third party.
It would be interesting to see if you can get some empirical data on third-party liability on your part.
Yes.
I've heard this my whole life. I've never seen the numbers. I've never...
Well, I that's my pet peeve, too. I mean, when no one knows what we're talking about, they say, what about insurance? You know, so that it's nice to know actually what, you know, what's liable here.
Then you ask your insurance guy, and he says, stay in bed all day.
Depends. Don't get out of bed.
Could AOPA help?
AOPA would be another resource, perhaps, sure.
They have a legal section that wants to help.
Well, that's a
small
airport.
And so does EAA, I think, also. So there's another good idea.
Well, I'm interested in coordinating a document.
Okay. Would you like to set up?
Separate from the business plan.
No. Set up maybe, you want to call people up or you want to?
Sure. Well, anyone interested in co-authoring something and kind of highlighting those points?
Well,
and we can shuffle the document around through email.
Yeah. I'll join you if you want. Okay. I've got something here and I already went through and redlined or outlined it. So.
Yeah, how much does it pay?
$1.25. That's the going rate, right?
$1.25.
Yeah.
I'm not cheap.
So that's not the business plan.
Not the business plan. We're talking
okay.
about.
Then I take the business plan.
Okay.
So I'll make you the. How about Thomas said he'll be in charge of calling a meeting for the business plan and getting the room together.
Can I just ask quick in this round? You? Would you be interested? You?
No, I'm going to work on one thing at a time.
You?
I'll do it. I think we had somebody else left. Mark.
Mark Lynn. Okay.
Good. Well, we can probably round up another person, too.
There's the guy sitting on the steps.
And then the next item on the agenda underneath old business was airport sign logo update. Who's updating this?
I have no idea who's
okay.
working on this.
I was supposed to, but when...
That's right, when you got fired, or you didn't get fired.
Didn't
you
get
never
hired.
Got fired because you never got hired, that's right.
Yeah, it's not in my job description, so I'm not
working
on it. Terry's been kicking it once, I don't know if he's done it.
Well, we actually had, in prior airport committee meetings, when I was liaison and all that, they actually had a proposal for a sign and all. I brought one the other day out to the airport, and the idea was you first need to have a little bit of money in the budget to have the sign erected. It's got some power out there, and maybe, I don't know, what's in the budget for a sign? I brought a little picture of like a BD-5, those microjets, and you can buy a kit almost for the price of a sign and put it on a post, and some people have used it for a weather vane. I mean, it actually tells, so that'd be, you put all, you know, Newport underneath it, but it'd be a visual sign that might
well,
be.
Well, yours airport in Yukon's got a DC-3 parking lot.
Yeah, we probably can't get that big, but I mean, that's an idea. Other types are, you go with your standard designed sign, and Thomas talked about that, and then, you know, you want to have some labeling or something that people can relate to. So I guess we'd probably need to kick that around a little more. Do we have a budget for that at all?
Well, I don't think so this year, but depending on what we're talking about, you know, we can.
July 1st.
Yeah, I don't have any idea. You know, we're being as frugal as we can out there right now, so there may be money in the budget this year mm-hmm. that we would just glom from a line that here and a line there, depending on how much we're talking.
Yeah.
I have no idea what kind of sign you guys are thinking about and how big it would be or. Whether it be lighted,
right.
whether with a light in the ground shining up on it, or
those
lighted
the,
yeah, LED kind of sign.
Something like that, yeah. Yeah, preferably lit from this way, but
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Again, so, the sign
sure
will not be, what we were talking about was we want to have one logo, one sign in line with each other.
Yeah.
That should be the...
For the because we wanted, with the FBO stuff, we were hoping that the, whatever we use on the sign, the kind of logo we put together, yeah. we can start going on t-shirts, hats, cups, all, you know, selling stuff, you know, out at the FBO that would match that. And since the city, and again, I had mentioned that that this is the city's trademark thing, and the airport, yeah, and the airport is part of the is a department of the city. If somehow this could be incorporated into the sign, where it was like City of Newport, ONP, or if City of Newport Municipal Airport, something like that, ONP can be on there anywhere. But yeah, and we don't want to have a plane under the bridge, even if it's
No suggestions there, right?
Yeah. So
I guess getting something like this done can't be that expensive. I mean, just for a draft, when you say there's a bridge. There should be an aircraft.
We have so many artists in this town that
they would be happy to do it for a few bucks.
Mm-hmm. And it's just a question of getting the actual.
I'm very much into this doing it professionally, right?
Oh yes.
Because I myself have experienced it. I tried myself, you know. I thought I'm a good designer and this kind of stuff. I had to learn I'm not. Because there was some guy who did some graphics for me, and he did such a fantastic job. And I got praised that I took this graphics for my little dog breeding stuff there, right? And there was a guy from Polo Shirts. He says, "How did you come up with this sign?" I said, "Well, some artist from the town made it." He said, "Well, this you could make much more." Of course, these guys think about printing, making big bucks out of that, right? Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, if I can do this with my little dog breeding sign, I think there's much more possibilities with a good sign there for the airport. And you can see a lot of people already buying this kind of shirts. And
I think those would sell a lot.
Yeah, and they're not that sophisticated. They're not really very nice and not very...
Mm-hmm. They're just t-shirts and hats.
Very basic. Right. So if they would be cool and had something really exceptional...
I'm thinking of bomber jackets. Those are nice. Those leather bomber jackets.
It would sell like hotcakes.
I mean, they had some T-shirts.
Yeah, I know. I think we sold them.
Oh, wow, yeah. Well, it sounds like the idea is good. Last time we were discussing, opening up to high schools and things like this, that's going to be a 6-month project to do all that. And you're probably going to have it done by a professional anyhow.
So you want me? I know a bunch of artists. You want me to just? I can contact one and say, can you give us just a drawing of something that would work as a logo for a shirt, a hat, and also for a sign that could be constructed.
Right.
Right. Normally you'll get variants of that. So you get a one color, three color, whatever.
Yep. Well, if I probably what they'll do is come out with something really wild, and we'll have to tone it down as far as colors and things go. Does the airport have specific, the city has the sign out that's right by the airport that's gold and yellow, or green and gold.
I think you need to stay with a similar letterhead colors, probably.
But we're thinking about having it up the drive a little farther than right there at the entrance.
No, you'd probably have an entrance, but I mean, you'd be separated enough
from the other sign.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I can do that, and I can get a concept drawing at least done.
Yeah, the guy that Idea Printing is real good, also.
Uh huh.
Talking about green and gold.
But I'm talking about that's what the sign is at
Welcome
to Newport.
Welcome.
Okay. Yeah, it's green. It's pretty much green and gold, isn't it?
As long as it's not any dark color.
It's just not orange
and black. Black and black.
I see what you're saying. I didn't even get that, Ralph. Never even dawned on me that way. We're close those duck colors.
Yeah.
So.
Well. Okay. Have we got any more point on this?
This thing's on us. This thing you could talk for hours and hours.
Well, we're not going to. So.
I also have a name that after this meeting I can drop you a name to the guy that did my logo.
Oh, okay.
He did it for $300 or something. And he did it digitally so that I can use it on every letterhead and whatever I want.
That's what we'll need, so you can transport it to, especially to fabric.
Yeah.
So, okay, good.
And even to sign making.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. As long as it's digital, they can do stuff with that screen.
They did this board show thing for Toledo as well. This is a little bit like Art Deco kind of style, which would be nice for Newport, because Art Deco and Newport and this goes pretty good with each other. I think this was a long time a scheme that Newport was pushing.
Well, there's several districts that all have Art Deco, but... That's an idea. So, whatever, we'll have some choices to choose from, I'm sure. And
yeah.
that'll be another debate.
Coming to this this idea that we had before, because you just mentioned it, to do it as a kind of a competition.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, it involves the whole society, which is not bad, and then involves schools and things like
that. Right.
But at the end, you will pay much more for that, because you will have to get involved. You have to talk to them, and teachers get involved. I mean, they all...
It takes a lot more time.
Time is money.
Right? Yeah.
So
absolutely.
It will cost more money at the end. And then the question is...
And then it's not professional. And then it has to be translated into something.
And you got to get... Sure. And you also have to get get them to sign the sign away the rights to the, to the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
So...
No, it's probably better to get a small contract to do that properly.
Yeah, well, you can come up. Some people will have some rough sketches, and they'll.
Yeah,
this guy sounds good, you go with that. Sure. All right. New business, anything?
Yeah, SWOT. So we'd like to get everybody together to do strengths, weakness, opportunities, and threat analysis for the airport. Would you be interested in being involved in that?
And do you want to share with them why we want to do that?
It's part of the feasibility study that we're working on.
Feasibility.
Yeah, you know, how many people it takes to run the airport, what the airport
is. Oh, that kind of feasibility.
Yeah. Yeah, we just thought we'd get some background on what you guys think are the strengths that we've got going out there, what are our weaknesses, and just so we can get input from the airport committee and us, we can have citizens too.
Yeah.
And yeah, it just kind of puts some context in it. We're going to do one with the employees out there to see what they think the strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats are.
The other nice thing is that will give us an opportunity to compare. You know, if we're this far apart, then we need to do more communication. But maybe we're not as far apart as we think we are, and hopefully we can get some. You know,
well, maybe if we have a larger meeting next time, we've got a. If we're in here, we have a board up here. We could do those fairly. Someone could bring in a few and then list a few, and then you have a whole.
If I'm gonna get the study done, I can't wait until next month to do that.
Oh, okay.
We need to do it a little bit earlier so that I can get the report written.
So would you like just to have people email you what they feel? How would you get it to Ted?
What if we did it out at the airport?
Well, we could do that. I mean, we have barbecue pretty much every Saturday. you can't get people up, huh? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of folks out there. They're not going to come up with a similar. I found that after so many people, you run out of things to talk about.
Yeah.
There's only so many strengths, weaknesses, and threats. So,
well, Melissa and I can talk about it, because it may be that I might be the one that comes out and does that on a Saturday, since that's an overtime expense for you, and also I don't want to cut into your weekend.
We give you a free hamburger.
Yeah, come out and get a hamburger and do the SWOT analysis at the same time.
Good.
You could write something up.
And have it on the board and just let people...
Well, yeah, make it a little more definitive, because I'm not sure exactly what you're looking for, but then we can get it to people, whether you have it on a Saturday or some other time, but then they know what they're getting into. I mean, you just walk in to get a hamburger on Saturday, let's go upstairs and talk about that.
No, the other thing I was thinking, Ralph, maybe is to do something like that, and then just have the... Because basically you put together... like this, and strengths, opportunities, and weaknesses, and threats, and have it up there so people can just come in and write them in, and I can come and collect it after the thing. But if we did some communication beforehand about what a SWOT analysis is and what we're trying to find.
Yeah, I have to understand the rubric before.
So you weren't looking for a discussion, really. You were just looking for...
Yeah, just for filling the... Yeah, just... What are our strengths? What's our opportunities? And some people will see an opportunity differently than others. Some people might say, one person might say this is an opportunity, and somebody else might say it's a weakness. You never know. But sometimes you see the same thing in more than one quadrant. But I think a Saturday would be a good time to do that.
But so a lot of folks up there, they can at least. The good part about that is the communication part too.
Yeah, just leave it out for a few days and get people.
I thought you were talking about having people in a room.
I think it'd be easier to just do it informally, but have some information out to as many people as we can. And so anybody that's on my mail list, I can get it to you guys, and then you guys can spread it out to.
Could you even prepare a paragraph and stick that next to a big sheet of paper like this in quadrants, so people can read it and just do it on their own time.
Oh yeah.
How do you get the people that are going to say, "Oh, it's just bullshit"?
They'll probably write on there the same as supposed to be.
That's our weakness.
Think about that. When
those are our threats, either to them.
Your pre-materials. Are you going to get the? You know, there's always people.
You know, what I find, Ralph, is those people don't, they complain, but they don't write things down. Usually they just like to complain and just go away. But
there's a fair amount of that.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, we'll find, you know, it's worth doing. I don't see any reason more not to, so that sounds like a good idea for now. And, you know, if it doesn't work, modify it. Anybody else do you have for new business?
That was my only part, and if you'll excuse me, I need to take off.
You need to go, okay. And then we're on to committee member comments. Then after that will be public comments, so any committee member comments? Nope. All right. I just have one. I guess we'll be developing the next agenda, maybe that's where we come up at. And that would be, maybe we can get a little logistics from, and most updated information we can get from perhaps Emery's, what they're called now, but Will Emery's property, his industrial section there.
You mean on getting a road?
Yeah, road, there. But infrastructure mostly, because I think the easiest way to get water and sewer is to get
you tied
to his. And they're focusing right now to get sales up there in a residential area and actively pursuing that. So, and I talked to him once about the industrial section, and the SDCs would help assist upsize the water and sewer pipes, but it would also allow us to tie in without having to go through Highway 101 issues, wetland issues.
Well, I know Tim and Derek both have plans. I mean, they're together. They're not separate plans. About water and sewer up at the airport and how they're going to get it there. And the other thing is that we just signed a big contract with Coastcom, and they're going to be running lots of fiber underneath the bay and heading it up 101. So very soon, maybe even before the first of the year, we'll have high-capacity broadband fiber up at the airport. So we can, you know, at least that's one of the three things we need. We need fiber. We need water and we need sewer up there.
We digitize our sewage and send it.
We could do that. Send it out in packets. Yeah.
Fire disposal.
You know, the sewer just got changed from phase 2 to phase 3 in the plan for the airport.
For the South Beach, yeah. Urban renewal.
And I tried to let everybody know that. I thought some of the airport people might object to that.
What does that mean?
It wasn't good, is what I meant.
There's a plan and to balance the budget for the South Beach urban renewal because of some of the things, and I'm probably not the right person to explain this. Derek Tokos is the right person to explain this, but what they did was basically to keep things in balance, you know, the income versus the outcome, and to get some things done they needed for OMSI. And that intersection down there, they had to take some of the things that were in phase 2 and move them to phase 3.
I see, so it's delayed.
And that particular thing got moved. Okay. And that came up initially, a month or two ago, and I know I let some people on this committee know and put the word out, and nobody said boo. I mean, I know why Derek did it, and he's the right guy to talk to if you have any questions. And I don't think it really has any, if something came along tomorrow and you needed it, it could be changed back and other things could be moved around, but it's now in phase 3 instead of phase 2 of the plan.
Yeah, I was in disagreement with that change also, but
I can get Tim or Derek here next meeting.
I don't know if we're ready for them just yet. Maybe whether they could if they have information that
we can have them.
Will,
we can have them at the beginning of the agenda. Yeah. And just do an update on
that'd be great. You know, that's all. Because I don't want them to be defending what they did, but I mean, at least have them know what's up with that. And then that'd be great. Okay, that was my comment. Anybody else have public comments? You guys want to have anything brought up like next meetings that you're thinking about that we aren't? We're covering it pretty well. Okay, good. And it says develop the next agenda. What is it that we have for our next agenda? I guess it would be further discussion of the business plan, update on the what are you doing? the uh,
standards, minimum
standards. Minimum standards.
Same agenda, because we also have...
And what? Oh, and then also...
The sign.
So similar, we didn't clear anything off the agenda, the table here, but
we're going to have any update on statistics? You said you're going to be looking on some numbers, revenue and expenses and...
We might have that.
Personnel costs.
I'm hoping, you know, if everything goes, let me see where we're at. Yeah, if everything goes according to Hoyle, we should have that report done, I'm hoping, by our next meeting.
Okay.
So
that's going to be on the agenda. I don't know if you have the data. You know, everybody's talking about fuel and revenue. One of the real workload issues on fuel is the number of planes physically fueled. In other words, you got the issue of one guy taking 200 gallons is a whole lot different work issue than 10 guys taking 20 gallons kind of thing. So if you have the actual number of aircraft fueled by truck, you know, in a given period, it's a real workload indicator. And I didn't hear anybody mention that.
So you split it between self-serve and full-serve.
Well, yeah, but I mean, even like I say, how many planes do you actually fuel a day? You know, where you use the truck, the self-service.
But they, self-service, yeah, I think it's broken down that way at the airport. Yeah.
Self-service day. You know.
Do we ever fill? I mean, do we ever help out at the self-service tank, or when it's self-service, it's self-service, it's self-service.
Only to chat.
Yeah. Just come out and.
Yeah. I believe they've broken down.
That's not true. We've had help because. Yeah.
Well, if the card reader decided not to work with this trip.
Also, one other piece of information that might help is, excuse me, what airplanes are based at Newport? How many
airplanes?
Types of planes.
Types. Right. That'd be pretty, they have that information too, yeah.
Yeah, one thing that was, you know, last meeting, Terry was throwing around numbers of operations, and that's a little, which I say, risky, because they don't really track all the operations, and it sets a...
Yeah.
Only the ones very good.
We could just say operations that we track between 8 and 5, and we don't even catch all of those.
Because there should be more than they track, because they're not there all the time.
Right.
That's not, maybe when they are there, they may not. It's a minimum stand.
Yeah. The other thing they do that, and this is... You know, a couple people have mentioned, you know, they keep track of N numbers.
I'm sorry?
They keep track of N numbers.
Okay.
And while I don't think that's illegal, and people raise privacy issues.
I'm missing that completely. That's showing my ignorance and also my hearing. Did you say N numbers or N numbers?
Tail registration.
Oh, that's what those are? Okay. Okay.
All U.S.
aircraft.
Gotcha. Registration numbers start with N, so people, instead of saying license.
I heard you say N, and I heard N, and I'm
thinking, okay. Misuse the term N.
Gotcha.
But when the city is recording N numbers, like I say, it's not illegal as far as I know, but it raises some privacy issues.
If I might just interject, the reason we did that, and I worked at the airport a number of years ago, was often we would get calls from Seattle Center, and they would say, have you seen this aircraft?
Yeah.
And it's better to say, yes, he was in here, rather than, I don't know, we don't track that stuff. Because really, they consider N numbers, anybody can go on the internet and run an N number.
Yeah, you can't get somebody's car license.
But exactly.
You're only getting
you can put my registration number on the internet, it'll come up with a picture of my airplane, it'll come up with all the flights I took, it'll tell you my home address.
It says unbelievable.
It is to me.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're talking about identity theft, that would be the way to go.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with Bob. Probably just let him try
to get it. It's not illegal to have it.
Yeah.
Some people say,
well, it also says, okay, instead of saying we have to send somebody in the airplane, we'll prove it. Yeah. They get the number. So that's because actually, we never get up to 10,000. I mean, landings, that is, you get your extra money. But one time we thought we were getting closer, but now with this, we're not.
Well, of course, you can also prove yourself wrong if you're not careful.
Gosh, there was more things someone brought up. Oh, God.
So we have four things, at least, for the next agenda.
SWAT, Tim and Derek, business plan, update on minimum standards and sign, and you were going to bring staff regarding revenue and expenses.
Yeah, hopefully have that study done. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, if you don't think about it, we'll be under new business. All right. I guess anything else? Don't hear anything more. The meeting's adjourned. It's too late.
Too late.
We're
early for the minutes for the meeting, but election of officers for the committee.
Oh, well, actually, you put that on there. Maybe you can find out there's a rules and we do have.
Yeah. How often are when they're supposed to be?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. But there's each member has a certain term.
I can tell you that right now if you want. That's what it is.
No, that's okay. But there is a. What do you call those?